Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
In space.
Oh, come
somewhere.
On, man. You
no,
could do better.
It was short notice. It's early. It's very.
What do you mean, short notice? I told you about this yesterday. There's no short notice.
Well, it takes me a long time. The magic game.
No, that's fair. Folks, due to time zones, we're doing this a little bit differently this week. It's where I am in Los Angeles, 6 a.m. Where our guest is, it's 2 p.m., I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, so our guest this week is Sam Albin. Did I say that right?
You did, yeah.
Awesome. He is the developer of a little indie space game. Well, I shouldn't say little, but I found out about it totally at random from a sale on Shiny Loot. That's how I found out about the game. It's called Space Salvager. And once I started playing, I'm like, I got to talk to this guy because I am digging this game. So Jim has it up in the stream. So Sam, why don't you give us like the elevator pitch, like throw out to the folks on the stream and on the podcast, what is Space Salvager?
Oh, how to describe that briefly.
It doesn't have to be brief. We have an hour.
It's a space game that you can really make what you want from it. You can go around and shoot pirates, or you can go around and hide from them, or just mine asteroids and do whatever you want, really. It's not a game that tells you what to do.
Right, and I like that. It's very open-ended, which I do enjoy quite a bit. Now, Jim has it playing up in the stream, so he's been playing it a little bit, but one of the things I love about this game is the job board, because I always love a good space game, a good open space game with a good, solid, hey, these are all the things you can do. Or you can just do whatever you want, but if you want a little guidance, here, take a mission. And I do love that. So this is kind of an interesting game because it's a top-down game. It's got I don't know if it's full on Newtonian physics, but I'd say it's a nod to Newtonian physics.
Yeah, it's the best I could do at the time.
No, it's fine. No, I'm not being critical. I'm just trying to describe it. Now,
it's Newtonian physics, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what did you build this game with? Because definitely, I think it definitely has a unique kind of look to it, which I do enjoy. But what kind of engine did you use to build this thing?
It's written in XNA.
Oh.
So what is XNA for people like me that don't know?
XNA is a free-to-use proprietary framework that's done by Microsoft. They did it, they started quite a while ago, and the idea was to rapidly develop games for both the PC and the Xbox 360 at the same time. So if you see any of the games on on the XBLIG on 360, they're all done in XNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, and didn't they just stop supporting that recently?
Officially, I think they've stopped developing it. But there's an open source version to it, which is called Monogame, done by the community.
And, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean it's really good because the idea is that they wanted to target more platforms than just the two by Microsoft. So, theoretically, you can take your XNA game, put it onto Monogame, and then put it onto Linux, for example.
Oh. Are you going to do that, or have you done that already? Or is that in the cards?
I wrote my dissertation on taking a Windows game to Linux, and the actual example I did was to try to take Space Salvager onto Linux.
Oh, very nice.
It's really, really hard.
Is it?
It's doable. The main issue I came across was the main shader I use for like the lighting effects was done in a way that it just wouldn't compile for OpenGL, which is what Linux uses for all its graphics.
Ah.
So I got most of the way through that before I then had to go on and do something else.
No, so I like this game because it feels different. Like, one thing I like about it, and I wanted to ask you about this, I mean, I've only played enough to still have the first ship, which is a cool little look. I like how little it looks. You can build other ships when you have enough materials. Is that right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. I haven't gotten that far to build other ships, but what I like is that you can pretty much only kind of see in front of you. Where did that decision come from? Because usually with space games, you have like magical sensors that tell you everything that's around you. But here you have more of a visual thing, which I think is kind of a neat little element. So how did you come to the decision of using just kind of what's... Look out, Jim!
No, I'm fine.
Okay. It looked like you were about to run to an asteroid there for a second.
Well, it was well-timed, right? Well, you're seeing it about 20 seconds late. But as you were saying, you kind of play in the dark with this limited cone of view. And at that point, I fly headlong into the middle of the asteroid field. And, yeah. So the game should play like creepy, oh, yeah, sneaking music.
It is pretty creepy. One thing I like about that is that it adds kind of a creepiness factor.
Yeah.
To the game. Like, you do have this kind of HUD, which will tell you where most things are, but it doesn't seem to tell you, like, everything, which I kind of like. So you can still be kind of surprised.
Well, the one thing that actually kind of makes me crazy about the radar system is I don't know where the edge of the world is. And when you fly past that boundary, you start taking massive damage to tell you, like, you turn around and go back the other way. It's like being in like a battlefield game, and you step out of the boundary of the map, and it's like you got 10 seconds to get back or you die. So, like, here where I cross over that boundary, but there's no radar or on-screen indicator that I'm about to do it. It's only once you've done it, and then it's a bit of a panic. So but other than that, I mean, you know, the radar works pretty great. I've chased asteroids, though, that were out of bounds, and I'm following this arrow on the radar, and I'm still going at it, and I run out of bounds, and it's like, oh, that one's not for me.
But yeah, Sam, how did you come to the decision to use this kind of more visual, this is what you see, everything around you is kind of this dark mess. How did you come to that decision?
Purely by accident.
I'm sorry, purely what?
Purely by accident.
Oh, really?
I mean, I was looking at doing some stuff with lights and shadows because I think that effect looks really good. And I was just taking a look at it and thinking, well, I can actually put individual lights on the ships and I can get them with different colors and do some different things. And when I put them in instance, like a 45 point, the effect that came out, I just really, really liked. Because space is dark. Unless you have actually got a light, everything is in pitch black. And which one was it? Not Game City. It was Games Expo I went to in Norwich about this time last year, I think. When I showed this effect off to a bunch of people, and people just really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely adds a suspenseful kind of creepiness factor. What is that? Is that like a wormhole or something? Or is that an asteroid? That green thing?
Yeah, these are they're like junk piles.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm sort of junk mining. See, they even have like old tires in them and stuff. If you look really close as it's spinning around. So the one thing that I found, my first play attempt was a brutal failure because I went into the ship customization. And I immediately took the mass driver off, and I said, oh, I can put a second laser. And I then realized that you can't mine these asteroids without the mass driver. At least, you know, is it required, or is there like a laser that can do it? Or do lasers just affect shields or what?
The laser will do a very minor amount of damage to actual, like, ship armor. I think the armor itself on ships has a polarization. And the higher that is, the more of that it will reflect from a laser. But it will it should annihilate shields far more than mass driver will.
Oh, okay. So you need a combination of the two in order to take an enemy ship down, like you get rid of their shields with the laser and then kill their hull with the mass driver?
Or you can work as a team with someone else. and you can like specialize in taking down shields, and they can specialize in taking down armor.
Oh, cool. So since you did this in the in XNA, which is the Xbox's framework as well, did it get an Xbox release?
It was originally actually going to be 360 only. And as time went on, as I was putting it through review, which admittedly it was far too early to actually get it published, I was finding that it's incredibly difficult to get it through peer review because Microsoft won't review it themselves.
What?
They give it to the community, and then you get, I think the number is about 7 other developers to review it on the 360, run it through the evil checklist, and make sure that there's no, explicit content, things like that, and that the game actually works, and that it is in fact a game. And then as long as they give all, you know, thumbs up, you then get published. But if that doesn't, if you don't get 7 people to review it in that 4-week period, or if you get 2 people who say no, then it doesn't happen. You have to wait another month to do it again.
What?
Yeah.
That seems a bit kooky.
I'll take green light, please. Thank you. So, yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, but no, it's good that it still allowed you to put it out for the PC. Now, when did you put this out? Because like I said, I found it by accident. So when did this actually get released under the PC?
I mean, its first release was actually about, what was it, 2 years ago, I think?
Oh, my God. Really? I am slacking. I'm supposed to be keeping up on this stuff.
I mean, at that point, it was nowhere near like it is now. It didn't have the lighting effects, and it didn't have the hardware like this at all.
Wow.
There's some old screenshots lying around somewhere for what it looked like. Yeah, it's gone through quite a change over the last 2 years.
Well, that's good, and you're still constantly updating it, which is great. Now, I had a question about this HUD. You can turn it on or off, as you wish. Why would you turn it off?
Because you're absolutely right. I don't really fly around with the HUD turned off because then you don't really know anything that's going on. But I wanted to give the player the option to be able to fly around, you know, without the information, just to, you know, feel like you are actually flying through space without.
Okay, well, that's fair, because giving players choice is always a good thing. So that's a totally reasonable answer, is to give them the option.
You know, what strikes me is that, given the that cone of light, you know, it's kind of like you're flying around with a flashlight, and
that's pretty cool. Yeah.
What I think a natural extension of that would be is if you took it from a space game and made a submarine game, because just looking at the background, it almost kind of looks oceany, and there's clouds and whatnot. Because if you switch this up to a submarine thing, then you can actually have terrain that's in there and little fishies swimming around, and I think that would be a graphical playground that you could have some fun in.
Ocean Salvager?
Yeah. Exactly.
I was thinking at one point of just like stripping all the graphics out and replacing them with ocean things, just to kind of prove the point that video games aren't made by their artwork.
Mm.
No, this is very true.
Or you could have space sharks and just go totally weird with it. Have little fishies out in space. I would enjoy that. It's almost like when, you know, like little critters in space, when the light hits them, they scurry away, and it makes them really hard to shoot, right? Because, man, I don't know. I just think that would be kind of fun as an experiment. Like, when you're done with this, like, what else could you do with what you've built? So,
yeah. Whereabouts
are you located, anyway? I know you're in Europe somewhere.
I'm in the UK. I'm right in the middle of the UK, in fact.
Oh, good. I can find that on a map. Thank God. We Americans are geographically challenged.
Did you see that one thing where they showed a map of where people thought Crimea was?
It was too sad.
It was awful. I mean, some people thought it was, like, in America. Like, there were some dots in America.
Yeah, because Putin totally invaded America, and Obama did nothing about it.
and there were dots all over Europe, and there were dots all over. It was really depressing, actually. Really, really depressing. So what I like about this game is you could fly around like Jim's. You don't have a mission right now, Jim. You're just flying around harvesting.
I do have a mission.
Oh, you do? Okay. I did not. Oh.
I'm not certain what I was supposed to have done.
Actually. Oh, it tells you everything. No, it tells you how many. It tells you how many jumps it is away and everything. But if you don't want to take mission, you just fly around and salvage and mine asteroids and do this junk. Oh, you.
Yeah, I think it was actually a salvage thing. I wish I could see a record of what I was supposed to be doing though, because I got here and the only thing that was here was those junk rocks. So I thought, well, I have to be mining those. So I was doing them as fast as I could, but I still failed. So,
well, you failed.
That's okay.
But yeah, I do like how you can just fly around if you want. And the universe is pretty big. Like, there are, go to the map, Jim. Go to the map so people on the stream can see the map.
Here in Mudspell, and then if I go to that, then I see. It took me a second to figure out the map thing, and it makes sense now, like, once I discovered it.
Yeah, the map is pretty cool. Now, there are, what, about a dozen or so regions in the game? And each of those regions has, it looks about a dozen. Each of those regions has several different spots you can stop and do stuff.
Mm-hmm. 11 planetary systems.
Oh, okay. And so with all the little bits in the systems, that's about, what, around 100-ish different places you can go to do stuff?
I think it's 81 or 83.
That's still pretty good sized system. It's bigger than like Privateer, I think, and stuff like that. That's a pretty good sized game. And again, you can pretty much go anywhere, can't you? Like from the beginning, you can just go wherever.
Oh yeah, nothing's locked off. If you want to fly to the other end of the map and fight ridiculously hard pirates,
to that blue section. Yeah, that's stay away from the blue. But so I was curious because we said you can get other ships. How exactly? Because I haven't gotten far enough to make another ship. So to make another ship, it looks like you collect enough resources, and when you drop them at stations, it's like kind of a universal bank where you have like you can be at any station. You have access to your materials that you've harvested. It looks like once you collect enough materials, you can build a new ship out of it.
Yeah, there's. The three resources is machinery, electricals, and then metals. And depending on what metals are used to make the ship will then alter its mass and its hull. So you can use... I'm trying to remember the name of the metal now. There's a really heavy metal you can use which makes the mass fairly high and therefore the hull a lot higher. So although you won't be able to travel quite as fast and turn quite as fast, if you actually get hit all the way through your armor, you'll take a lot more to actually get destroyed.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you can. There's a lot of options to customize your ship just based on the metals you use?
Oh, there's only three types of metals. So.
Oh. Okay. If there's iron and there's something else. God, I forget.
So I can't buy a hull. I have to manufacture that. But then I buy components to put on. All right.
There's aluminum, there's tungsten, and I guess there's iron.
I'm a little bit leery of this NHSA enforcer. I feel like they're listening to this podcast. Oh, wait, no, that's the NSA. Never mind.
So it looks like there's about a dozen ships you can build?
That sounds about right.
That's 16, maybe.
Yeah, about a dozen. It's been a little while since I actually last looked at this.
Oh, really?
Ooh, I'm buying a ship. Here it comes.
Oh, can you get one?
Yeah, so there's tungsten, iron, and aluminum. Right. And
right.
I get to choose what mix of that I guess I'm going to use to satisfy the requirements.
Ah.
So I could do it with all tungsten because it'll be awesome.
Ah. That's cool. So you're going to get a traveler.
Yep. Well, I think I am. I clicked manufacture, but it's not giving me a confirmation of that.
Well, I think you have to go to the hangar once it's manufactured.
Yeah. Maybe. Let's see. Nope, same ship. Interesting. Uh-oh. Is Sam still there? Oh, he just muted.
Nah, you guys still there?
Yeah
hey.
Hey.
Did your tablet get all funky on you?
Yeah, it just went silent and then decided to restart Skype.
Oh,
that's
but it's
weird.
Nice that it rejoined. I was sitting here and I'm like, I built a ship and then it wasn't building and then you were gone and I was like, oh my god, what did I say? So I went in, I went to manufacturing and I picked the ship that I want and then I adjusted which metals I wanted in the ship to, and then I hit manufacture, but it's not manufacturing. Is there something else? Am I missing something in the interface here?
I don't think so. My stream decided that it's doesn't work, but...
Skype has died again.
Oh, no.
And he's back.
Hey, yeah. Sorry, everything is restarting apparently because I just lost the stream as well.
Oh, my gosh.
It chooses right now to run Windows Update, probably. So,
it is
Tuesday. So,
Tuesday, time for an update.
Yep. Especially with the massive pile of phone updates they put out yesterday, and that Surface is running Windows 8, so, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, anyway, so, yeah, I'm clicking on Manufacture, but I'm not getting it. So, maybe I need to put the balance back in the Force.
It should be. If you've got enough metals, electricals, and machinery, it should work.
Yeah, it said that I was good. I had 31 of 75 on electricals. Or no, that's machinery. 32 of 100.
No, you don't have enough, man.
Oh, well, wait a minute. No, it said requirements were met, though, right? Yeah, the second number is how much of it is actually on hand. What's required, right?
So,
Or I think. I don't know. Let me go back and look at this thing. All right, do go on.
Oh, wait, it looks like...
Oh, wait, no, it requires 100 electronics and 75 machinery. And I don't think that I have that. No. So that's my problem.
Yeah, because only certain... Yeah, it looks like when the number is green, you have it, but when the number is yellow, you don't. I'm guessing the requirement
is... It says requirements met, so maybe that's just requirements
of
my pilot grade. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Okay. So you got to go out and mine a little more. But take a mission, man. Don't forget to take a mission while you're
out
there.
It's dangerous out there. Take a mission with you.
Take this mission, yeah. So how were the missions generated in the game, Sam?
That's a good question. So generates 8 missions. I think it's 8 missions throughout the whole of Nierheim. And each of them have like a timer on how long they actually... stay around for.
Right.
When that timer runs out, it then generates a new one randomly. And it tries to distribute them evenly, like across the entire Nierheim. And then the further away those missions are from the planetary system that's assigned them, the more they're worth, as well as how many you have to kill and the level of the mission.
Oh, that makes sense, because there's a lot of travel time involved. And if your ship isn't fast enough, you could probably fail the mission because you didn't get there fast enough, quickly enough.
It also costs to jump through each gate.
Oh, wow. So, you have a thing. It's one jump away, Jim. Harvest the boneyard. First boneyard. Yeah. How did you... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, now that I understand that this was originally developed to be an Xbox... live exclusive thing. A lot of the design decisions that I didn't understand, I do now, like why the circular radar, that's around the ship and just things like that. So knowing that it was supposed to be an Xbox arcade game, it's like, oh, okay, totally, I get it now.
No, it plays a lot better with the gamepad. I found that out too. Because, you know, at first I was like, oh, keyboard, sure, fine. Then I play with a controller and, yeah, a lot better. That's what it's meant to be played with, is a controller.
It's just, there's a touchscreen version on somewhere in my machine as well.
There is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Were you developing it on the Surface?
I was, yeah. I was hoping to get funding from this Nokia Microsoft project, who were at the time funding absolutely terrible projects. apparently mine wasn't bad enough, so...
Wait. Okay, wait a minute. Side note. Go back. Please expound on that. Please expand on that more, because that sounds like a funny story. And I want to hear it.
It's not that amusing. I mean, there was a project, I can't remember the name of, that was joint between Microsoft and Nokia to, basically, no one was making games for Windows 8 Mobile or the Windows 8 RT, so they were trying to fund ideas and projects and stuff to get people making games for them. And I think that there were quite a few projects that were done that were quite good, but from the ones that me and some friends were looking at, we were just questioning why they were giving funding to them, because they had no real experience in making these games, and these games didn't actually come out either, because there was no stipulation to actually succeed in doing it.
What?
Oh, so it was kind of like, here, have a, you know, we'll write you a check, and you tell us you're making a game, and we'll just agree.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't give you all the money up front. It was an incremental thing, but yeah.
That is kind of wacky.
Well, the Windows ecosystem was pretty desperate for a while there, and you know, because they went from Windows Phone 7, which was tragic, and then Windows Phone 8, not so bad. But then they wanted to compete, because they see like how many apps get released for the iPhone and Android, right? And it's a better situation now. If you go on the Windows Phone Marketplace, it's pretty decent. But a lot of it, unfortunately, that market as a whole has gone toward, freemium kind of Plants versus Zombies it's the very light games, right? And which I have a buddy that works actually at Zynga now, and it's, you know, the whole Farmville thing and that. He has sent me pictures of the office building that they're in, and it's incredible. It's like a super mall from the 80s, that just where it's just like a giant building that takes up a city block, but it looks like a shopping center inside, and it's just like a playground for programmers, and I'm like, really, you bought that with Farmville? So apparently there's a lot more money there than I had realized.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Damn it. Sorry, I just got distracted by a cat.
Yeah.
Really wanted to come up on my lap. What are you doing, buddy? Anyway. So, yeah, I've played this game for maybe an hour or two, a couple different profiles. Because I think one profile I had, the first profile I had, I got killed. Because I'm like, what am I doing? Flail! And then I went someplace I probably shouldn't have.
You lose the ship that you're in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not a good time. So I started a new profile.
That's worse than dying. That's losing your ship.
Yeah, I got a little cocky and went someplace I probably shouldn't have. And, well, obviously shouldn't have. And, lost my ship. So it is kind of a dangerous universe, and there are piratey missions. And combat is kind of crazy because, you only have a light and you can only see certain places. So it's a little kooky. But, yeah.
The AI is really strange.
Wait, say what? Why? Why is the AI really strange?
Well, the original AI for this used finite state machines, which is a fairly kind of standard way of doing AI. And it's fair.
Oh, man.
His Skype has rebooted again.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, I think, did we lose him entirely?
I don't think so. He's still in the thing. He'll be back.
Oh.
It'll reconnect. I have faith.
I hope so.
I bet what happened, yeah, because it's Tuesday. I bet your machine's patching in the background.
Yeah, I hope not. Well, actually, if it is, that means that's exactly what's wrong with it, so.
Yeah, at least that's something. But so you were saying about the AI, I think something about natural numbers machines, I think you said?
Yeah, I was using finite state machines.
Finite state machines, sorry.
Yeah, which are fairly logical. And then as part of my university AI module, I did fuzzy state machines, which are a lot less predictable. Get some really weird behavior out of them. And after I made the fuzzy state machines and the finite state machines fight in an arena, I went with the fuzzy state machines because they just obliterated them.
Yeah, because they obliterated me too. They were kind of brutal.
You know, actually, that gives me an idea for a game, right? Where you could actually, it would be kind of like AI War, where you'd have the fuzzy state machines and the solid state machines. It's the two empires of AIs that don't get along, and then they would have to fight to see who is actually better in a cage match. Hey, I completed the mission.
I just saw you run into that junk asteroid, though. You got a good chunk of damage out of that.
A little bit. I'm not a good pilot.
What you should do is the best, because there's this thing called the decelerators. That's what they're called, right, I think? The decelerators? And, like, yeah. If you turn those off, you can go so much faster, but you shouldn't go through an asteroid field with them. That's a very bad idea. But if you have a clear system, yeah, they can really help your travel time a lot.
That's in there for.
Yeah, they basically turn off your speed limit. It's a governor or something you have in your ship, and that turns that off. So that's pretty awesome. So you said you have it sounds like you have a doctorate. You did a dissertation in
I've just got a bachelor's.
Oh, is that different in the UK? You have to do a dissertation to get your bachelor's?
Well, in the UK, the bachelor's is the equivalent of the American doctorate. So,
it is?
It is?
No.
I would believe you.
Self-deprecating American.
I would believe you if you said that, because that just makes total, at least to me, it seems to make. I would believe that.
Give bachelors away here. It's
hey,
you need it to. Don't even apply at Walmart if you don't.
I kind of half-assed worked for mine. I C-plussed my way through that.
Yeah, my associate's degree was basically proof that I could show up on a schedule.
But Sam, you had to do a dissertation for a bachelor's?
Yeah. Most of the undergraduate courses in the UK, you do a dissertation at the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that is not how it works here.
I know a little bit about how universities over there are. So Nick's girlfriend from a while back came from Wisconsin, and she did archaeology or something up there. And then she did a master's here, and the difference between how we do things and how things are done there is vast.
Oh God, I could only imagine. You know, I mean, I've heard just how the public schools are miles different over there than they are over here.
So, what does an education cost over there? Does it all come out of your pocket, or is it publicly funded, or how does that work?
For university, you do have to pay. I paid, oh God, how much was it? $3,500 a year, which at the time was sort of the set limit. That's what everyone paid. When the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats came into power a couple of years ago, they upped it to about $9,500 a year.
Wow. Yeah, it costs that a week here. So.
Much.
By the time, if you get out of school and you've got a doctorate, then you're probably $100 and some thousand dollars in the hole. just in loans, you know, that not including what you paid out of your pocket for housing and all that. So it's a little bit of a scam because with the UK and just Europe in general, they have an understanding that when you complete your education, then it's time to go out and get a job, not for the express purpose of paying back your student loans, because then you're saddled for 30 years after school with just trying to pay those loans back, whether you use that education or not. So it's a little bit of a backward system. Capitalism, yay.
Capitalism, yay.
Well, you just pop out of university already enslaved to the bank. That's the problem.
So were you in college when you made this game, Sam?
College and university is two very different things over here.
Were you in university, and what are the differences?
I went to school until I was 16. And then after that, I went to college for 2 years, and then university.
Is that the typical path of a student in the UK?
Yeah. If you don't have what we call A-levels, which you get from college or sixth form, then you're probably not going to get into university.
So what is college for? Is that sort of a pre-university warm-up? Is that where you get your fundamental things, like your advanced math and English and that, and then you're ready for the university courses, which are not just all fundamental and everybody takes the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I don't know if they've changed that, actually, but you used to be basically done with school at the age of 16. Although no one would leave school because you're not going to get a job, because everyone then goes on to college because it's free.
Oh, it's free.
You see, Brian, we were born in the wrong place. That's...
Yeah. I think my adoration of Doctor Who and Red Dwarf helps prove that I was born in the wrong place. So this game, how long did this game take you to make?
Solidly. I'd say about a year and a half.
Okay. That's a pretty good time. That's a pretty good chunk of time.
I started it near the end of my second year. And then I went on placement running my own company with a friend of mine who did all the artwork.
Oh.
And it went through such a change from like the beginning of that year to the end of it, because I was learning loads of different things and techniques. And then the actual, like the way it's presented now with the UI, and the way the missions are done and the HUD, that all got redone in my final year at uni when I was basically not thinking about Space Salvager at all. And so it was in the back of my mind the whole time. And yeah, it looks remarkably different from how it was at the end of my third year.
And then you're still adding stuff to it. It looks like you patched just recently.
I did a hot fix to think that the game wasn't heavily broken. I'm trying to remember what it was it fixed now.
It was back in February, I think, was the last patch.
Yeah, no, that was the one I did for Dezura. I was working on getting the network multiplayer working, and because of some stuff that was going on at the beginning of the year, they crippled me from being out of work. I ended up not being able to finish that.
What happened? You got crippled? What?
No, I mean, like, it basically stopped me from being out of work because of what was going on at the time.
Oh, okay. So your company is called Two Person Games, and I'm guessing that's you and that artist fellow you mentioned?
Originally, yeah. He's moved on to do other things now.
Oh, so now it's just One Person Games?
Yeah, but still Two Person, because I can't change the name.
Get another person.
Yeah.
Just have to meet the right person.
There's a friend of mine who's doing some artwork for the next game I'm doing.
Is that another space game?
Unfortunately not. I don't know how to describe it. It's a story-driven RPG that focuses on depression, abandonment, and betrayal.
Ooh!
Oh, it's a game about my life, basically.
And mine as well.
Mine. yeah. But it's set in a cyberpunk future, so that's cool.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. Now, are there going to be plans to continue to add to this game? Because I'm trying to get more people to play it, because I really like it, I got to say, because I like the openness of it. I really like flying around. It's kind of fun. Not kind of fun, but it's fun, and I love the missions. I'm a huge fan of missions in this game, types of games.
You know what I like? I like the music, because it's a very Brian Eno-esque ambient background thing, and I can just kind of leave it run in the background, and it pleases me. So where did the music come from?
The music came from the aforementioned artist's brother, a guy called Stefan Rutherford. He has a band that I cannot remember the name of, and they did a sort of rock fan song for this.
That's funny. Yeah, because the music is pretty relaxing. It's something you'd probably want to listen to as you're flying around a spaceship.
It could actually be Brian Eno's music for Spaceships album, if it had ever been made.
Is there? There's an actual music for Spaceships
album? No, there's music for Airports.
Oh.
Which I urge you to seek out. That and Trouble Man. You should listen to both of those.
I've seen Captain America, so I did listen to Trouble Man.
I wonder what happened on iTunes. With the Marvin Gaye soundtrack.
I can't imagine it didn't not get picked up by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Because people were like, what? And, yeah, it's exactly the kind of jazz that I like. Mixed with
it's a great song.
A 70s blaxploitation picture, which is also in my wheelhouse. So, what could be wrong? I own the movie, actually. So, it was no giant
not.
Surprise to me. Yes, I do.
So, that must have been a surprise when...
Yeah, I was like, oh, really? Yeah.
Have you seen the new Captain America movie, Sam?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I saw that, you know, his little to-do list from the front of the movie where he's told to, he writes down Trouble Man? Apparently it's different in different regions.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the list is different in the UK, and apparently it's different in Asia, and apparently it's different in America.
Why?
Because I think the UK one, it looked like the UK one, includes things like the World Cup and stuff that, like, Americans wouldn't give a crap
So they wanted
about.
To have universal appeal by...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Most care about the World Cup here.
Oh, I don't know. I thought y'all were into soccer or something.
I mean, yeah, there's quite a few people that like football. I think cricket's kind of...
Sorry, football. Oh, culture differences. Always funny.
I know. You would think that we speak the same language, yet. this is kind of amazing, though, because if you took humans, and we were talking about genetic drift and that on the last show, right, where you take humans and you put them on different planets, and you could source them from the same community. Put them on different planets and let it go for 100 years, and then they speak completely different languages.
I'm not surprised. Isn't that pretty much what happens?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, you give total separation, and they will completely change their cultures to different things. But the reason that Britain and us can still understand each other is because we still talk. But if you ever listen to any of the ancient, like super old English stuff, it actually sounds almost Norwegianish or whatever. Was it Stephen Fry went out and he found a farmer and he was talking to him in like the really ancient dialect, and I think he was a Norwegian farmer, and he was standing there talking to him about his cow. And they were almost speaking the same language. was kind of neat. But I like Stephen Fry. He's a good guy.
I can't imagine anyone who wouldn't like Stephen
Fry.
That's
another tragedy of America, is that we don't get syndicated QI here, because we would all be so much smarter if we could watch QI.
I just heard about QI for the first time because of John Hodgman's podcast. I'd never heard of it before.
What, did he go over there and get on the
show? Yeah, apparently he was on it, and he was like, he didn't talk much, apparently. He was like kind of dumbfounded. And he's not a dumb guy, at least maybe for an American.
It's hard to keep up with, though. It's a witty and quick show. So, yeah.
Can you watch that here in America, Jim? Like on BBC America or anything?
YouTube and BitTorrent. I don't know about any legal means.
It's probably on what?
BBC iPlayer.
That's right. I forget that thing exists. So have you been pleased with how this game has been doing? Because, like I said, I just found out about it, but I'm sure other people have been playing it. Have you been pleased with the feedback you've been getting and everything?
Well, most of the feedback I've been getting is at expos and stuff, and I tend to get a very small number of people play it for a really highly dedicated amount of time. I think that someone has sat down for about 4 or 5 hours at one expo playing it.
I can believe it. If I had a longer attention span, I probably would too, but I have the attention span of Doug from Up, basically. Squirrel! So I can't stick with a game for too long, usually.
So where's the game available at? It's on Desura.
It's all over the place.
Is it on Steam?
It's been up on Greenlight Steam for quite a while.
Well, maybe we can push it over the edge.
Yeah, we'll try.
I know Greenlight is disappearing off into whatever it's going to become next quite soon.
Yeah, we don't really. I mean, it's weird. They said they're going to stop using it, but they keep announcing games for it.
Yeah, there's still a number of games kind of in the system, as it were.
So it's like, we're not sure. Like, yeah, April 3rd, they just announced 75 new games. Like, okay, you say you're getting rid of it, but what are we supposed to think of this? Like, you say you're getting rid of it, you keep releasing stuff from this. Are you actually getting rid of it? Or, I mean, what are you doing? There we go. And yes, I voted for you. And okay, I'll make sure we include a link to this. Should be here. Yeah, cool. I see.
The launch of Greenlight when they did that. Purely by accident, there was this big indie meetup thing going on in London, and then Valve said, "Oh, we'd like to go there and announce something, but we won't tell you what it is."
That's nice.
It was good. It had an open bar that Valve paid for. So.
Oh wow, that must have been great.
Yeah, did you get to meet Gabe? Was he over there?
I can't remember who it was. There was, I think, someone from the office over in somewhere in Europe. I can't remember where. Maybe Belgium. And then some PR woman from America there. I can't remember their names at all.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty nifty.
Yeah, I ran into Gabe, actually, just completely at random. And I had no idea who I was standing next to. But I was wearing a Half-Life t-shirt at the time. I was out in L.A., and I'm standing in this line, and the guy in front of me turns around, and he's like, nice shirt, you know, and he's kind of, laughing with his buddies, and then it dawned on me, that's Gabe Newell. So then we stood there and talked for about 15 minutes or so, but kind of neat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But that was, right when Half-Life 1 had come out, so that was, 97, 98, something like that. I'm very old. Terribly old.
So is there I don't know, because I haven't gotten far enough in. Is there a story to the game, or is it just pretty much do whatever the hell you want?
It's pretty much do whatever you want. I mean, there is a background story to it about why things are the way they are and how things have developed to get from where, Earth to here, but I completely failed to integrate that into the game in any way.
That's great, because I was wondering, I'm like, Because I was like keeping an eye out for any kind of story to, hey, Jim, you got, look at your pilot license. You got points to spend.
Oh, you can spend them. I thought it just happened.
Yeah. Oh. No. You can spend them.
Oh.
Make your ship a little faster. Make your turn a little better. It looks like that kind of thing. Is that right? That's what those points get spent for?
Yeah. There's points for each kind of like weapons, engines, and stuff like that, and that allows you to use different ones. And it'll be a little bit of a bonus.
Nice.
There's actually three levels of development as far as like your character's concerned. You've got the points you can spend, and then you've got little achievements. Like if you mine, I think it's 10 asteroids, you get, I think it's like a 3%. Or maybe 15% output increase.
Mm-hmm.
If you do 100 and then 1,000, and wow, I've ruined the text on that menu. That's not good.
So you saw that little text overlay? The text is over the text.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I noticed that yesterday.
So here's something that's making me crazy, right? Since I have the developer hostage here, I can make him fix it. Whenever I go to the Constellation map, and I go to Mudspell, and this will be on like 20-second delay or whatever that you see. So I have Second Boneyard highlighted. So I'm in Mudspell, and Second Boneyard should be due south from Mudspell. So I would assume that when I come here, I would turn south and go that way. But quite often it's elsewhere. So I'm kind of at a loss. And I know that my waypoint is currently set for there. And I'm looking for which one of these little blue arrows is actually blinking to indicate that it's the one that I need to go to. And, oh, there it is. But it's not blinking. All right. Never mind. At least I could see it. I was thinking it was being obscured by the pile of gray arrows. You know, maybe it was behind one or something. But I would say that whatever your current waypoint is, I would put like an additional indicator maybe on the screen edge or something. To get you there instead of just around the ring where it can get obscured by the other ones.
Yeah, I was a while back when I was playing around with the HUD, I essentially layered the icons so that you had all of the jump gates, which are, you know, really important for navigation, slightly further out so that they wouldn't ever be obscured by anything. And it didn't really work. It didn't look any better than the way it was done at the moment, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
When you end up with this many icons on the map, it does become quite hard to navigate around.
But well, I do it, like it how it tells you where the asteroids are. A lot of games don't care about that. They're just like, oh, asteroids.
Oh, apparently this was the gate. I went flying by it, and I went into the out of bounds, and bad things happen out of bounds.
Yeah, but, oh, God, it's almost time for me to leave. But, yeah, so I just really like the game. And I want to get it more, a little more, you know, coverage, because it's a fun little open space game. And I mean, there are more and more space games coming out, but there's a variety of them. We have our crazy ass 4Xs that are just not that great, and then we got some fighter sims like Aterium and stuff, and then
which comes out
today as we write this. You'll like it, Jim. Write this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
I was going to let that go, but since you bring it up.
No. Sure. I haven't had coffee yet, okay? So I'm a little woo. But, yeah, so it's always good to have a good open-ended. It's not an ARPG. It is top-down, so one might mistake this for an ARPG, but it isn't an ARPG. It's more of an open-ended kind of privateer-y type thing that just happens. I would akin it more with Escape Velocity.
Yeah,
maybe kind of a real-time.
It needs a giant robot head being built, and you have to mine asteroids, and the enemies are also mining asteroids, and they're building this giant robot head that will come. Oh wait, that's Sinistar. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how about a giant robot? How about a giant hand?
Oh, yeah, or a hand.
There you go.
No, it honestly, like a little bit here. I haven't encountered enemies yet. I've only seen the asteroids, so I guess I'm in a very peaceful area. But it's like it would be interesting if there was something that you were competing against the AI, you know, like to prevent them from achieving something or whatever. But then down that train of thought, it reminded me of the old Williams game Sinistar, which was kind of exactly that, but in one little asteroid field.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played that in so long.
I loved that game. That was so great. It was my avatar for a long time. When I'd boot my computer up, I'd have the Sinistar voice as my startup sound. Be like, beware, I live. And, yeah. It was a little obsessive. It was a phase.
So, Sam, do you have any other plans for this game? Is it pretty much how it's going to be? Do you plan to add more stuff to it? I mean, are there any?
I have a large number of things I'd like to do with this.
Oh, good.
I think the one that I really do want to do is the ability to and run your own station.
Ooh.
And with that, add the idea of actually being able to get out of your ship and walk around this station. Because with that comes the idea of because there are, I think it's two or three specific pirate factions. And with being able to build your own station, they would then be able to build their own stations. And then you would be hired on the job board to go blow them up. And you can either go down there and, you know, brute force it by hurling, you know, tiny asteroids at this station until it blows up, or docking onto it, running around, blowing it up from the inside.
Okay, that sounds a lot like I want that. Can you make that happen? I want that to happen.
And if you could somehow work in a Japanese dating simulation.
No, well. Forget.
The Japanese dating simulation has always been on the back burner.
Well, like, you know, maybe it's like you have to find two compatible asteroids and then tractor beam them together so that they can love.
No, wait, you can tractor beam. Can like.
I'm just saying that you should be able to join them to increase the amount of love in the universe, and you would have like a bar on the screen that's how much love is in the universe.
Oh my god!
And so,
no. He said you could hurl asteroids at space stations. Is that like?
Oh, okay.
Because I don't recall anything that lets you grab asteroids and throw them.
Your mass driver fires tiny asteroids.
Oh, is that what it's firing?
Yeah, it's not very clear.
That's hilarious. No, that's cool because there's the 2 weeks ago we had an author on the podcast who writes these space opera-y tactical shooty books, and it's got great combat. But one of their main weapons, especially against planets, are just big rocks, basically big hunks of metal and big rocks, and they just throw them. That shit.
If you've ever seen Babylon 5, that's what they do to the non-homeworld.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just throw asteroids at it.
That sounds terrible.
It was
but
horrific.
Terribly efficient.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really need physical materials when you just hit something with a rock that's about a mile across. It takes care of everything else. I don't think you could top that by strapping a bomb to it.
Oh, that's what they did in the last Starfighter, too. To take out the base.
Yep. Oh, no, out of bounds.
What are you doing, Jim?
It comes without warning.
Yeah, it really does. Well, we got to wrap this up because I actually have to go to work. But, but Sam, I want to thank you for coming on, taking the time out of your day to talk with us about your game and about a bunch of other stuff, too.
You.
I apologize for not being as on point as I could be, but I have no access to coffee right now. Yeah, it's been fun. And folks, the game is Space Salvager. I don't know why I keep wanting to say like Salvager. I don't know why I keep wanting to put an N in there somewhere in my brain. But it's Space Salvager, and it is a good time. You can get it on Desura, on Shiny Loot, I think Gamers Gate as well.
And upvote it on Steam Greenlight so we can get it there. It's your mission. Go now.
but it is an enjoyable game. And if you do have a gamepad, I suggest you play it with that because it's definitely a little, it's definitely more fun than the keyboard, I think. But that kind of makes sense. It's kind of made for the Xbox anyway.
Yeah, but I'm doing all right with the keyboard. Whoa.
Yeah, no, it's not, not fun. It's not not fun with a keyboard. It's fine. It, I just think it's a little better with the gamepad. It just feels better. It just controls better. But that's a lot of things. Well, maybe I am thinking Space Scavenger, Knack, which, yeah, I don't even know if that's a thing.
Yeah, so
Space Scavenger is the pirated version that someone's done.
Scavenging bodies and things.
So is there a plan? Because we had talked about the Surface and the Windows Store and that, and you said that there was a touch version of this that you'd worked on, but you weren't very happy with it. Is there a plan maybe to just bring this to the Windows Store, even if it's not touch compatible? Would they allow it?
No, it has to be able to work exclusively with a touch screen.
Okay.
Exclusively?
Well, I mean, it basically it doesn't work with a touch screen. They won't accept it.
Hmm. Because I've seen some that actually say desktop app on it, but they're few and far between. So. Yeah. Yeah, there are some things in the store that actually say desktop app. It was like I was looking at a music production program yesterday, and it was that. And then there were some that I forget whose product it was, but it was a video editor, and they said this is only available from the producer's website. So the store item just redirected me to the publisher's website. Which is very odd. I didn't understand how they had a store entry for that there because they didn't even process payment or anything for it. But yeah. But I would like to see the Windows Store become an alternative route, much like Steam for digital distribution, where you know it's like, hey, my game's on Steam, my game's on the Windows Store. It just depends on whose wallet you want to pay out of. You know, it's like I want to put my payment details in one place. And then have that be my gateway to the software that I want. And I think that there should be no barriers about who can put what software in where. You know, maybe the store needs to be more tightly organized so that there's distinctions of that. But yeah, I think that's better, right? Like instead of, oh, I have to remember serial numbers and where did I buy this program and I have to keep that email forever because it's got the serial number in it. No, just give me a portal, and I'd like to do that.
They tried to do that with the Xbox One, and then everyone said no.
That's true.
Yeah, but we were young and ignorant. Now we know. We've seen the light.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or comments or anything, you can get in touch with us at Hail, H-A-I-L, at SpaceGameJunkie.com. And please like us on iTunes and all that fun stuff. And what was I going to say? Yeah, Space Salvager. I keep wanting to say Scavenger. Space Salvager is available all over the place. We'll include links in the post so you can go buy it yourself. It doesn't cost a lot, yet it gives a lot. So go find it, buy it, and play it. And again, Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.
I bet sunshine down, but I see the only one. Trying to think I'm over you. I find I've just begun. Faster than the days, there's no warmth in the light. And how I miss those desert skies, you're